Yes.
We have a question, comes from Anuradha Didi.
Yes.
Russian Didi who lives in Phuket.
Yeah.
The question said, I try to practice a gratitude every day for everything what happens to me. So whom should I address inner thoughts and prayers? To Krishna, Radha, or Guru, or all of them together?
We learn from the substantial devotees how to pray or offer prayers. So Srila Guru Maharaj compiled the Prapana Jivanamritam, which he said translates as, in various ways he mentioned, but like life-giving nectar for the surrendered souls. For the surrendered souls, this is life-giving nectar to them. And we know some of his godbrothers, they read a chapter a day or several verses a day, a section to inform their lives, their prayers, their thinking. So, because we need some guidance always. So even in praying, I remember as a child, perhaps I heard it somewhere, something, the idea that you could do some sort of austerity and pray to God to get something. And that your prayer had to be sincere. But we know from Vedic perspective, that's what we call karma kanda. From the lower position, you're imposing something on the higher, or expecting something. As in, give us our daily bread. In devotion, the devotee is supplying chapati to Krishna, not asking Krishna for chapatis. They consider it an opportunity if they can offer him bread daily. So that's a higher standard. Still, it's recommended in the Bhagavatam, or the advice given in the Bhagavatam, akama, sarvakama ba, moksha kama udaradi, tivrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purusham param. Akama, kam means desire. So akam means if you are desireless, right? Sarv, and then sarvakam, or full of desire. So it's saying from the desireless to the desire fold. Those filled with desires, full. Moksha kama, or those trying to get free from the whole bhog tag, alternating enjoyment, renunciation. Akama sarva kama ba moksha kama daradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Approach Krishna. We may say by analysis that to approach Krishna for something is karma kanda of a lesser position. But what is being told there, whatever your position is, go to Krishna for that. Because they know, it's known, it's understood in the background. Coming in connection with Krishna, you'll become transformed. So we see in the example of Dhruva Maharaj that he, having been slighted by a king's son, his mother was a maidservant, his ego was bruised. And as revenge, he thought, because his mother was told, you're not a prince, you'll never be a king. You know. I'm a maidservant. You know. So he, as a revenge strategy, sought a kingdom greater than that king, not only that, greater than Brahma, the Lord of the universe. And he is 5 years old, expressing this kind of thing to his mother. And his mother saying, or who, yeah. And she realized, like, this is too much. Like, no one can fulfill this kind of desire except God himself. And Dhruva was saying, and where is this God? And she says, I've heard that great saints and sages seek him in the depths of the forest. The Vaan. And Dhruva at 5, he's going to the forest and going to perform austerities to see this god and submit his request for a kingdom greater than Brahma. And he gets some advice from Narad Muni, but he's there, and by the power of his earnestness and his meditation, like, we know, Paramatma is the target of the yogis in general. Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. The Lord appears in his heart. We hear this elsewhere. Bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja ase shutekshita pato nanunata pungsang. That he appears on the lotus of the heart of the devotee according to their sincere, genuine devotional heart expression. So he appears on the lotus of the heart of Dhruva Maharaj. And he is astonished to see the four-armed Vishnu form. And enamored, mesmerized, and with his eyes closed, and suddenly, the Lord vanishes. And he's startled and opens his eyes and sees the Lord who appeared in his heart is standing before him. Such was the power of the meditative heart of Dhruva Maharaj. And the Lord is now offering him what he saw. He wanted this boon, benediction, to have a kingdom greater than that of even Brahma, the Lord of the universe. And but seeing the beauty of the Lord, he's so overwhelmed that he's transformed. And he says, what is the line? Famin kritartosmi baram najache is the last line. He's saying, I was searching. He's comparing his former wish for the kingdom greater than Brahma, saying, I was searching for shards of glass. When you break glass into little pieces, I was searching for little broken pieces of glass, and now I've found the most valuable gem. We hear about like Chintamani gem. Also, we'll hear the expression Sparshamani, which means it's a little different in Sanskrit than it is in English. In English, what is a touchstone? Means it's a black stone, you scratch gold on it, and you measure the quality of gold on the basis. But Sparshamani is a different sort of thing. In English, it would be rendered as the philosopher's stone. But in Sanskrit, Sparshamani means coming in connection with that, you become transformed. Right? It can turn base metal to gold. Like Sanatana Goswami Prabhu and Hari Bhakti Vilas. So here in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he's interacting directly with the Lord, and we can say the Lord of the heart. But where have we heard this term Sparshamani most frequently used is with the Vaishnavas. That by getting their connection and their association, we can be transformed. And expressing our gratitude for that transformation is how we properly praise Sri Guru. Just like in the first prayer I said, Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Venamaha. I was blind in darkness, the cataractive eye of ignorance, and Sri Guru mercifully, surgically removed that cataract and has gifted me with proper vision. So that's why that sloka is there. So in terms of expressing gratitude, It doesn't mean that we cannot voice this in our own way, but we take help from the mantras that have been there since the beginning, before the beginning, in praise of Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas. And as I mentioned, in the Srila Guru Maharaj and Prapanajivanamritam, there are numerous expressions of Vaishnavas expressing their appreciation or gratitude. So it would be in our interest to go through that. But more specifically, and answer this question, we understand that Guru and Vaishnav, they are the next nearest to us. To directly pray to Radha or Krishna is generally not encouraged. There may be some specific examples of that we can find, but for the aspiring servitors, their focus is on next nearest. That means Guru and Vaishnav. So their prayers are directed toward them, knowing also that they are, in essence, surrogates or representatives of Radha and Krishna and Gaura Nityananda. Right. So, like the songs, sing every, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya. Right. What is it? Yogyata vichari kichu nahi pai tomara korunasar. If you examine me, you'll find no good qualities. Your mercy gives me some possibility. That's the proper attitude for the devotee. Right. To directly approach Krishna bypassing his devotees is not recommended. Right? We're guru-centric. Our focus is guru and Vaishnava, seeing in guru Radharani's surrogate or representative. So in one sense you say, are we not addressing her? Yes, but in the way that is appropriate. There's a hierarchy of servitors. So if you see, again, in the verse I invoke this evening, Bandeham Sri Guru, Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun, Gurus plural, then what? Vaishnavangsha, and all the Vaishnavas. This is the proper approach. Then it's mentioning the Panchatattva, like Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Then, before that, the six Goswamis. Then Panchatattva, then in the end, Radha, Krishna, Lalita, Vishakha. That's the proper way. But the aspiring servitor, their focus will be the next nearest, which is their guru, and guru in the form of Vaishnavas. But that said, devotees think whatever good situation has come to them, they have gratitude. They're thinking, oh, Krishna is so kind to me. That's a nice sentiment. Right? But their prayer is more specifically directed to Guru and Vaishnava. Especially in the sadhaka, developing plane. When we, Guru Maharaj will mention with regard to the songs that we sing daily, regularly. They're mainly from Narottam Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Guru Maharaj made this observation. He said, in the songs of Narottam Thakur, many of them are written from the Siddha plane. They're songs from the perfectional plane, very high. Those are not the ones we sang daily. The ones that are from the developing, aspiring position, that's where we give our focus. Most. And what are those prayers directed to? You know, oh hey Vaishnava Thakur, Doya Sargara, Edase Kuruna. Always toward the Vaishnav. And he says, interestingly, in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're mostly from the position of an aspiring servitor, but there's a smaller number that are from that Siddha plane. And you will see on a day like Radhastami, or sometimes in the month of Kartik, where these songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, I am a resident of Swananda Sukhada Kunja. He's speaking of himself as a gopi, Saki Manjari, and expressing some prayer directly to Srimati Radharani or Radha and Krishna. That is the perfectional plane. That type of expression is inappropriate from our present position. I remember when I first went to India, I think I was telling Gopal, and first time I went to Radha Damodar Temple. And in those days, it's hard to believe now, but there was no one there. Just Gorchan Goswami on one of those, that cot with the rope, not a wooden bed, but cot, I think, sitting there, and he would let you go up and see the deities, or you say, can I see Mahaprabhu's, Krishna's footprint? Oh, it's over on the right, you know. But I remember going there and seeing the deities of Srila Jiva Goswami, Sri Radha Damodar, and there was one lady on the side, and she was singing and then talking to the deities and expressing many different moods, emotions, sometimes chastising the deities. And then I thought, oh, this is what Prabhupada was talking about when he said to beware of sahajiyas. So she's, and I'd seen it traveling around India, some lady talking about her deity. Krishna is being very naughty today, so I must punish Gopal. You know, Hare Krishna. Is that real? We don't take that lightly, or that is suspect. Saraswati Thakur, we're told, any as to not mislead his followers or others, if some deep spiritual emotion came to him and some like tears are coming, he would suppress that. But and you've seen any picture you see of Saraswati Thakur, he is the personification of gravitas, right? Or gravity, which is interesting because guru means heavy. He personifies that. We all know. You see Saraswati Thakur always the personification of gravity, right? But that same person, and who would suppress some ecstasy is coming in, he's suppressing that, not to mislead the others, because what will they do? They will imitate him. His disciples or those in the lower position will say, oh, Gurudev is showing this, I'm also showing. Like in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in one place, and you've seen it, sometimes, man, they're keeping cobras, and then they do something, and then the cobras come out, and they go like this, and the people give some rupees. But they're doing that. And then they're like that. And then Haridas Thakur is there. He's singing Anantadev. And he goes into an ecstatic trance in praise of Anantashesh. That's what he's saying. And then waves of ecstasy are going on his body, trembling, hair standing on it, foaming at the. And all the people realize, oh, this, he is a Mahapurush, Siddha Purush of the highest order. They're taking his feet dust. Okay. But we're told, one envious Brahmin, he's seeing this and seeing how the people, they're taking Haridas' feet dust. And he's thinking, I can also do. Then sometime later, he's going, oh, showing so many things and imitating the symptoms of Haridas Thakur, and the people come and beat him. And he's like, why? I'm also doing. But they said, you're an imitation. He is experiencing some divine symptoms. You're imitating that. Not only do we not recognize you as being substantial, but by doing that, you're mocking him. So we're beating you to save you from this type of mockery. This is another reason we need the glass walls. And Anuradha, she should understand, I'm using her question to cover many subjects. I'm not implying any of this toward her, but so I can speak on these subjects in general. So that Saraswati Thakur, who had suppressed spiritual emotions, personified the personification of gravity, Guru Maharaj said, when privately amongst his intimate servitors, when he would chant the sloka of Raghunath Das Goswami from his Bilapakusa Manjali, which expresses a service Radha Dasyam, service to the holy lotus feet of Radharani. And Guru Maharaj said, in this instance, it is a direct prayer. But listen to this direct prayer. And he's saying, Ashavare Amrita Sindhu Mayi Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratam Hi Pram Chet Kripam Mayi Vidasha Naiva Vidasha Srinayiva Kimme Prane Vrajena Chaburoru Bakarinapi. So Asha means an aspiration. He said, Ashavare Amrita Sindhu Mayi Katanchit. What is my aspiration? Is the service of your lotus feet. And that gives meaning to my life. With that aspiration in my heart, I wake up, I go about my day, it informs everything that I do. But if that is not a possibility, then what value is my life? Right. See this, and hearing this, understand that Guru is seen as Radharani's delegation. Right. So, Prabhupada said, Vyavasayatmika Budhi Ekeha Kurunandana. When he's reading this section of the Bhagavad Gita, in light of Vishwanath's explanation, he had an epiphany. And what was that? The raison d'etre, the reason for being for a disciple, is to fulfill the order of Guru. Guru Maharaj said, he wholly emptied himself of any other desire than the desire to serve the lotus feet of his Guru. Who is whom? Radharani's delegation. Next nearest delegate, Radharani before us. Saraswati Thakur would say, when I examine my Gurudev, Bhaktivinoda, very deeply I see not only Astasakis, it goes up to, I see Radharani from a deep angle of vision. From beginning, Sakshad Hari Tenasamasta Shastre, Krishna, deeper looking, kintu prabhu ya priya evatasya, prabhu priya, the one who's most dear to Krishna. There's a shift that takes place. So Saraswati Thakur, this sloka and saying, and so without my aspiration is to serve your holy lotus feet, if that is not a possibility, my life is meaningless. It is of no value. And even what is more valuable than my life is of no use to me. Then we'll say, well, wait, what's more valuable than your life? Okay. What do we hear? The expression, you know, self-preservation. Sometimes, I think, in the case of mothers or parents will hear this, say, I will sacrifice my life for my child, that kind of thing. But generally speaking, one's life is considered the most valuable thing. And he says, not only is my life of no value, but what is more valuable than my life, that is of no use to me. So what does he mean? Braja. Right? Bhai Kuntir Priti Vyari Shakala Chinmoy. The soil, Guru Maharaj said, the soil of the spiritual world is Guru. Right. So, and of more valuable stuff than ourselves. So he's saying that highest plane of aspiration, Vrindavan, What is Vrindavan? What would Vrindavan be without you? Without you, what is Vrindavan to me? Right? And two things come to mind. One, to reiterate that, Radha, Padmankitadam, Vrindavan Jaranam, Bhaktivinoda, back to the high song of Bhaktivinoda, he's saying, generally we'll say, Vrindavan, the land of Krishna. Right? Not incorrect. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, more precisely, that soil that of dedication, because remember it's chinmoy, not only conscious, spiritually conscious substance, but spiritually conscious substance enriched with the highest type of dedication and self-giving. Right? As Guru Maharaj says, when you're recommended to bathe in Radha Kunda, he said, Saraswati Thakur said, it's not water, like the rain that's come now, it's not that type of water. It's the waters of self-sacrifice to the extreme. It's Radharani in liquid form. Who is Radharani? Aradita, the one whose dedication surpasses all others, whose way, path is of giving herself, not accumulating things and giving them, but offering herself in service. So that's one consideration. So that soil, without being embellished with her lotus feet, metaphorically and literally, is of no use to me. But also, you know this line from Narottam Gopal? He says, yeah. Yatai Vaishnavagan Vrindavan Vrindavana Stan, something. Yatai Vaishnavagan A Gan Vrindavan A Stan, that's it. Yatai Vaishnavagan A Stan Vrindavan. Wherever the Vaishnavagan is, the Vaishnavas, that place, that's where you'll find Vrindavan. So back to that focus. But so in expressing this, the next level, so he's saying, my life is without this aspiration that I will one day get the service of your holy lotus feet. My life is of no value. What is more valuable than my life, Vrindavan, is of no use to me. And Guru Maharaj said it in this way, and I know it is a shameful thing to say, but without you, Krishna is a dreadful thing. I don't go near Krishna. I have no interest in Krishna. What? That's why it says, Bororu means Radharani, but Bakari Napi, Bakari. Baka Ari. Baka means Bakasura, and Aho Baki Yam. Baki means Putana. So he's saying, which Krishna are you? That who's got blood on his hands, you know, he's killing people, demons. Bakari Napi. Like, that's not a Krishna I'm interested in. That's the Krishna I get without you. At your side, we get Swayam Bhagavan Krishna and all of his sweetness, all of his beauty, all to the extreme. But without you, some other Krishna that is scary. So three things. My life, what is more valuable than my life? Vrindavan. And what is more than that? Krishna himself is no value to me without you. So how guru-centric we are when we consider that guru is Srimati Radharani's delegation. But that Saraswati Thakur, when he would chant this sloka to his inner circle, who would suppress all ecstatic symptoms, Guru Maharaj said, would cry uncontrollably, wailing, crying uncontrollably, expressing this sloka. Others, they'll find some other thing in there about the private behavior of Radha and Krishna and appear to be very moved by that. Which sloka? Look at the sloka that's moving him, where he can't control himself and wailing, is about a service aspiration. So really, truly, if we want to express our gratitude, it shall be expressed in the form of service. And how does service come? You know, what is that famous Evam Janma Sapalyam? And Krishna and Balaram are going to the Vrindavan forest. And Krishna says, oh, Balaram, look at these trees who are bowing over, they're bowing down and offering their fruits. They're so happy to see you. It's for Krishna and Balaram, but Krishna's saying, oh, they're so happy to see you. Look how they're bending over, giving their dandavats, and they're offering their fruits. And this verse comes where he says, they are such generous souls. They only live for the benefit of others. Right? Those fruits, no mango tree eats mangoes. Think about that. How wonderful the mango is. The taste of the mango. The juice of the mango. All that. The mango tree doesn't eat mangoes. We do. They're producing mangoes for others. So you can say their life is dedicated toward giving nectarine substance to others. So Krishna says, oh, see how these great souls these trees are. And the Charja commentator is saying, normally tree stavra is like a very low birth. And the Ramananda Sambhad saying, what happens to Mayavadis and Brahmavadis? And he said, they take birth as trees, mountains, gems. Like you can be a gem, a diamond for a million years. Reflect light, you know. So generally Lopez, but Krishna saying in Vrindavan, Kalpaturu, they're so exalted. And what are they doing? They're supplying, their lives are meant to serve others. And this is the chapter that precedes the Yajna Patnis, whose husbands are not so generous to Krishna and Balaram, the cowherd boys. It's like setting up, in a sense, that pastime. Look how generous they are. They live their lives, brother. Next chapter, oh, go see if they'll give something in our name. They're not supplying. Ask their wives. They give everything. So, a devotee still internally, they may, in the form of prayer, express their gratitude to Krishna in this way, saying, oh Krishna, you're so kind to me to give me the association of your devotees. That is your supreme mercy upon me, to bring me in connection with your devotees, Guru and Vaishnava and others. And I'm in a fortunate situation that I'm surrounded by them. That sort of thing. It's also acceptable. But we know one day Nimai Pandit went to visit Murari Gupta. And see, before he is showing his bhakta bhav, he's showing other things. Right? And on this day, it's Varahadev. Remember, after he becomes becomes a devotee, he doesn't show those things so much. They're, because he's now going in the devotional mood. Sometimes it's suppressed for 20-something hours. But mainly he's going into bhakta bhav, the heart expression of devotee, to radha bhav, supreme devotee. But on this day, it's Varaha Bhav, the Varaha avatar. And Murari Gupta opens the door and sees he's taken the form of Varaha Dev, standing on his doorstep. Like, invite me in. Goes into the house, and there's a water pot in the corner where they keep the water. Remember they used to do that? Have a big clay pot for water. Well, maybe they still do in some places. But he's in the mood of, he goes over and lifts that, like the way Varahadev saved the earth. And then at one point he commands Murari Gupta. Murari, offer some praise. We can imagine the astonishment of Murari Gupta to see these things. But he's saying, don't just stand there, praise me. And what does Murari Gupta say? I'm unqualified to praise you. Who am I? A tiny soul with limited capacity. Only you can properly praise you. And we see that in your expansion of Anantadev, we're talking about gems. The gems of Krishna Katha, of Hari Katha, and by extension, Mahaprabhu, etc., are those gems are in the mouth. Like you put treasure in a place, it's in the mouths of Anantadev. So he's saying, only you can really, fully, properly glorify you. And we see that Anantadev, with his unlimited capacity for glorification, has been unable to exhaust your glories. And he's been glorifying you since before the beginning of time. So what can a fallen, tiny soul like myself say in praise of you? But that is his prayer. His prayer is expressed as, I'm not qualified to pray. And then he gives all the reasons why he's not. And what happens? It becomes a prayer, a very perfect prayer, expressed by someone who's saying, I can't do this. Right? And we see when the Vaishnavas are called upon to like praise another Vaishnava, it could be Vyas Puja Day or something like that, we may hear them say in the beginning, like, I'm unqualified to do this, but all of you have asked me to say something. So by the grace of all of you, then maybe some inspiration will come to me and then I can say something. Otherwise, I have no qualification to say anything. That's the way. Right. But remember, Krishna is in your heart also. He knows everything. What you're thinking, what you really feel. But still, it's nice, thoughtful to think deeply about this. I remember being a child around 11 or something, and school finished. That's why I remember this so vividly, because school finished. That time when it's the last day of school and then the next day it's like liberated condition. And then I went to wanted to go to the downtown of where I live, but I know there's a shortcut in the woods. So in school, every day you're in a classroom with 40 other students or whatever it was, and then so many other students by extension. But this day I went on the path and I stopped for a while and I thought, I'm all alone. There's no one can see me, no one can hear me. I'm totally alone. And so at first I was appreciating that. And then I thought, no, but I can feel that there's someone who's sharing this moment with me, who can see me, who does hear me, who knows, because I'm not talking out loud. I'm saying all this stuff mentally, internally. There's someone who's hearing all of that, who hears my every thought, or whatever sincere expression could possibly come from my heart. So we will say that as Paramatma, or sometimes described as Chaita Guru, the Guru in the heart. But, this is what I wanted to say, to conclude with, that... So I mentioned the Prapanna Jivanamritam and how gurus expertly collected all these slokas, prayers from devotees, and categorized them and systematically presents them. But at the very end, he has introductory slokas and... like Gauravag Vigraham Vande Gaurangam Gauravai Bhavam, and Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam Bhagavat Bhakti Tatsarvam Itu Srija Vidyarapi. Many beautiful in the beginning. But in the end, there are some concluding slokas. And we recall being in Sokhel, and Hashyapriya Prabhu was collecting honey from the bees. It was the major honey collection time. And since Srila Gurudev was there, they're putting the honey in jars, they wanted to offer the first to him. And all the devotees are there having this like festival of collecting the honey, putting it in the jars, and putting labels, and Save Ashram, and like that. And then, so they present to Gurudev, and he's like, oh, thank you. And then he said something peculiar. He said, but this makes me a little sad, you know. And they're like, why? Is everyone so happy, you know? And he said, Guru Maharaj is sloka? And I was like, what? He goes, Maharaj, you know Guru Maharaj is sloka. He goes, my favorite sloka, at the conclusion of Paprana Jivanamritam. And I was saying like, oh, I don't know it. And he was like, you don't know? My favorite sloka, the sloka of Guru Maharaj at the end of Paprana Jivanamritam? Yeah. And after this big build-up, I hope I can remember it. But how does it begin? Sri Srimad Bhagavat Padambuja Madhu Shotsavai Shatpadai Nikipta Marubindabas Chaparito Brashta Mukat Gunjitai Yatne Kinchiri Haritam Nidapuro Sreyortina Tanmaya Buyo Buyo Ito Rajangsi Parasam Lagdani Te Shambhaje. There it says, Guru Maharaj is saying, what am I doing? Said, these devotees who I'm quoting all their prayers, Shatpadai means six legs. It's a poetic way of saying a bee. Understand? Honeybee. All right? The six-legged, because they have six legs. So it said, Shatpadai. These devotees are like the Shatpadai, they're like the bees who are madly when tasting honey. You see? And in the madness of their relish, drops are coming from their lotus mouths. And he said, and I'm below them, catching those drops of nectar that are falling from the lotus mouths of these devotees. And he's saying, and that's what I'm presenting to you here. How Guru Maharaj, his highest ontology and virtuosic poetic expression. So beautiful. So he was saying, really... So Gurudev is saying, this makes me a little sad. We're taking the honey from them. And then Hashyapriya came and said, no, actually, we take care of them. They have their honey, but this is the excess. So in that sense, we can consider it's a remnant, it's prasad. But I'm glad that it happened this way. Otherwise, we wouldn't have heard Gurudev give this explanation and indication and how beautiful it is. And if we keep this in mind, then we'll understand the proper approach, saying, these great devotees, look how they glorify the Lord and how they express things. So let me give tribute to them by invoking their sayings. And then, just like in the secular world, they'll say, why should you read great writers? Because if you want to write, right? Say, you read all these great writers, then when it's time for you to write, you'll be under their type of words will come to your mind. You understand? You're reading these great writers, how they use words, how they express things. Then when the time comes for you, you say like, oh, suddenly, oh, I'm surprised. These kind of words are coming to me. Yes, because you, in this sense, serve the great writers by hearing how they express things. It's very similar. So we hear how the great devotees are expressing their hearts. Then when that time comes, our heart will be equipped to eloquently express these prayers and gratitude. Hare Krishna. One thing we learn from the, so we know Guru Maharaj, he's Shastra Nipun, he's a great poet, all these things. So I said we sing the songs of Narottam and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we also sing his songs. And it's not only in Chaitanya Sarasvati Mat, but in, like last night when you were saying Pranamami Shada Prabhupada Padam, Babaji Maharaj used to go around all the Gaudiya Mats singing that. He'd always sing Nikhila Bhuvanamaya, start with Nikhila Bhuvanamaya Sloka. And then when he would sing that song, all the Gaudiya Mat devotees became happy and they memorized it. And they would sing it in their mats. And who is it? And I think Shantamara's mat, on Ekadashi, every Ekadashi he would take one verse and explain. That would be his talk that evening, is to explain one verse from this. A God brother. So besides praising Guru Maharaj in this way, it also gives us some hope. Then we see like, oh, so contemporary devotees, each generation, they can actually contribute something fresh and original. But to do that, you have to be equipped. To be equipped, you have to, and for it to be real and substantial, you have to be under the influence of the higher. The great literary critic Bloom has a book called The Anatomy of Influence. And he's saying, although these secular writers like to present themselves, they just sort of like mushrooms sprung out of the soil expressing something new. He's saying, no, really, if you follow literature, you can see where they got what they got. They may have surpassed them in some instances, but you can find it. And he's saying, to be inspired is to be influenced. So for that inspiration to come in our hearts, we want to be under the influence of the great devotees and familiar with their prayers and how they have expressed things. Then our hearts, enriched with that sort of devotional substance, can express something substantial, real, even unique, original. Hare Krishna.